This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. It is 12:05 p.m. on the 11th of May, 2022. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me in the studio is
Frida Liu.
Frida Liu's mic is not on. I don't know why. Give me 2 seconds. Now it is.
Yes, it is.
Hooray! All right. After that small little technical hiccup, today we're talking all about e-commerce and digital marketing and how you stand out. Because with e-commerce booming like never before, how can businesses hop on this wagon while still managing to set themselves apart and not break their budget? So if you want to get in touch with us about this topic, go ahead and hit up our WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or we are also on Twitter at BFM Radio as well. You know, it seems that there is no choice but for businesses to embrace the digital life. In fact, Mahathir Aziz, who is the CEO of MDEC, the Malaysia Digital Economic Corporation, revealed that Malaysia's e-commerce revenue surpassed 1 trillion ringgit in 2021. The country is also on track to achieve 1.65 trillion ringgit by 2025, supported by the National E-commerce Strategic Roadmap, which is a stepping stone towards digital trade designed to take advantage of the opportunities available in digitization. So according to Aziz, digital trade in Malaysia is expected to reap significant benefits through the ratification of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Cooperation Agreement, or the RCEP. And Malaysia is among the 15 countries involved, which in essence is the largest free trade agreement in the world. This means local businesses now have vast access and opportunities within the world's largest trade bloc.
So Mahathir added that MDEC's hashtag Saya Digital campaign, a platform for micro, small and medium enterprises, MSMEs in Malaysia to adopt the digital, has successfully helped 500,000 businesses adapt and adopt to e-commerce platforms and e-payment systems. Over 157,000 of these businesses are women entrepreneurs, and in total, they've managed to generate 85 million transactions with a gross GMV of over 4.6 billion ringgit. So he also mentioned the data during the MCO showed that it caused a spike in online businesses, but the momentum is there and it should be sustained going forward.
Yes, and MDEC is not the only organization that is really enthusiastic about the digital economy. Meta has also set their sights on spurring it as well. So their largest digital upskilling initiative for the country, which was Jom Celik Digital Dengan Meta, focuses on the B40 group, as well as micro, small and medium enterprises, tertiary graduates and job seekers with 4 digital upskilling programs. So the first program is Meta Boost, which aims to empower more than 1,000 people from the B40 communities and MSMEs nationwide by providing free educational workshops to equip them with digital skills that can help them engage customers successfully.
Next, we have Pasa WhatsApp, aiming to teach more than 1,000 MSMEs on the various features of WhatsApp Business to digitize their business. Participants are introduced to features like catalog, automated replies, and how to build a quick business profile with essential information for customers who reach out through WhatsApp. An Instagram Academy was also launched, which is a training program that provides support to more than 1,000 local entrepreneurs and MSMEs with Instagram tools and educational material to connect with their customers and communities in more engaging ways, for example, through short-form videos like Reels. And lastly, the Facebook Blueprint Higher Education program aims to empower students with real-life digital marketing skills, as well as support educators in developing digital savvy talents.
So Meta's Nicole Tan says that digital transformation is no longer a luxury but a need, especially for MSMEs that faced a lot of challenges over the last 2 years because of COVID. This is a quote: the latest digital technology developments bring about changes in existing business models, as well as new creations, introduction of new products and services, and increased efficiency of business processes, which ultimately makes businesses more competitive, especially amongst entrepreneurs and SMEs. So it's clear that basically businesses have to go online. There's no other choice. They have to embrace the digital because you will be left behind otherwise. But with all this in mind, and with this rush and with this crowd heading into the digital space, it's so difficult for your company to stand out amongst the crowd. So in line with this push of businesses going towards operating online, the iPrice Group launched the iPrice Sellers Club to help small to mid-sized online sellers and brands reach profitability by connecting sellers with interested buyers, leveraging its vast insights into what users are searching for and what they're intending to purchase. So with all of this in mind and with this idea, we thought to actually get in touch with the head of iPrice Sellers Club, whose name is Aaron Lim, for his thoughts on the e-commerce space and what barriers and trends there are for businesses and how they can stand out as well. So we will be hearing from him after after the break. But for now, it's time to take a short break for some messages as well. This is Rock and Roll by Velvet Underground here on BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and in the studio with me is
Frida Liu.
And today we're talking about e-commerce and digital marketing and basically standing out from the crowd. If you want to get in touch with us about this topic, we're on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. But we have a guest today. We have the head of iPrize Sellers Club, Aaron Lim, on the line with us. Thank you so much, Aaron, for joining us on the show today. So first, question for you. How has the ASEAN e-commerce space progressed over the past few years in your opinion?
So, well, the starting point of the state of e-commerce in Southeast Asia, we all have seen how it's been booming over the years, right? You know, what has happened in the last 5-10 years and how it's super accelerated by COVID. And some of the numbers you're probably aware of are pretty obvious. So just in the 2-3 years alone, Southeast Asia gained almost 100 million new internet users. So, you know, already by now, there are millions of online merchants and sellers. And not just the 100,000s that we used to see in Southeast Asia and Malaysia included. So these merchants or sellers, as we like to call them, first of all, they are grateful for the digital. And if we look at the study built by Temasek and Google, one out of three believe they would not have survived without being on a digital platform or without the existence of any digital channels. So, and because the lockdown was so severe and suddenly offline sales went basically to zero in many areas and in long periods, so digital was critical. And going forward, there are even more bullish on digital. So this is again the same study. 4 out of 5 sellers expect that going forward, actually the majority of sales will come from online. So they think that online will be the thing for them and not just a nice addition. And if you look at iPrize, we saw in our data when the pandemic hit, we doubled immediately the number of orders. And we still grew in 2021, but the growth rate in 2021 was relatively small compared to 2020. I think it kind of settled. So we don't see it going down in 2022, but it could be again that the growth could be very little because maybe the demand has like kind of over-accelerated in the 1 year and now it's kind of normalizing back to the original growth trend.
Right. Aaron, what are the barriers for digital adoption?
So, yeah, I mean, when we ask sellers, you know, what are they afraid of when getting on digital? The first thing that they always say and being cited more frequently is that being digital is beginning to be expensive. And it's becoming one of the main barriers for them. So another barrier is that there are enormous amount of competition on marketplaces now. So in Malaysia, there are around, you know, 1 million sellers now. So the likelihood of somebody selling the exact same product is very high. I mean, it could be dozens of sellers or hundreds of thousands selling the same product as you are. So, you know, and it goes even further that many sellers don't even know where to start. You know, we speak to them and it's like, hey, why don't you come online? And you know, they like to, but they don't know how. And you'd be surprised how many mom and pop shops are still not moving to the direction going digital, right? So this is why we actually designed the iPrize Sellers Club and we'll be helping these sellers to address these challenges facing mainly in these three different cases. So the first case are sellers who are already on marketplaces, you know, the Lazadas, the Shopees. And being on marketplaces, I mean, you get lost among the millions of sellers, right? It's very difficult to get visibility, especially when you're new. And often even more difficult to build reputation as well. So there are sellers who are gaming the system. You know, they're getting fake reviews or making reviews to themselves. I'm sure you can see that from very weak reviews if you read. And if you are a trusted, credible seller, they may be difficult to stand out, right? And because of that, they are not getting sufficient amount of traffic. And then there's the next case for those who have their own brand.coms or seller.coms, basically their own website. So what we typically see as challenges is it does still require a lot of technical knowledge. So, I mean, to create a store, you know, the UI, UX, setting up payment gateways, managing the inventory, and decide, you know, despite some of the enablers like Shopify, which has made it really simple, but it's still a technical task, right? And there's still a huge number of sellers who lack that knowledge. And these are the sellers who are out there competing with other brands, and they typically don't have the resources like the other big brands, you know, how to optimize their ad spends. Google and Facebook is relatively easy to set up, but it can get expensive quickly. And users tend to go to marketplaces directly, right? So it's difficult to actually get visibility and shout out to customers, you know, like, hey, I have my own brand.com, you know, no need to go to marketplaces, you know, I'll give you something better, you know, some better service, better advice, better pricing, but still they are not getting sufficient amount of traffic. So what we do at iPrice Sellers Club, again, the solution is very simple. You know, we leverage on the vast iPrice audience that we have and drive them to our seller store. And we can, you know, create their catalog and start listing them on iPrice. And the last and not least, but the sellers who are not yet on digital at all, you know, they don't know where to start. They don't even know how to begin. And they are not digitally savvy enough. So many of these sellers are still purely in the offline world. So to them, same thing, we also guide them step by step and start to create a very easy way for them to integrate. And you know, that gives them a super easy way for their first digital experience, which can eventually lead them to a stronger long-term digital experience.
Mm. And earlier you mentioned that for some merchants, digital adoption can be too expensive. Could you go into a bit more detail about that? How can digital adoption be too expensive?
So, well, that may come as a surprise to you, right? Because many marketplaces are like openly saying, you know, it's free to join, free of charge to come into their platform. And specifically what sellers are facing now, that it's getting quite expensive to optimize, you know, the cost, the fees, and the commission structures are rising. So, you know, typically, you know how it goes, right? You know, you join for free and then you start paying for this and that, additional features, visibility, you know, this service, that service. And when you start to sum it up, it can really get quite expensive. And if you're a seller, you can go to Lazada, you can go to Shopee and spend there and get more visibility. Or you can pay for your own Google, Facebook, TikTok ads. So, but eventually, that move also has some risk because you are buying clicks, right? And when you pay for clicks upfront to those platforms, there's no guarantee that that will turn into sales, right? And if you're a bigger brand, you probably can optimize that. And you probably have a team taking care of that. But for a small seller, it's going to be very, very challenging for them. You know, can they afford a team or a specialist to do that? So what iPrice, you know, we have existing traffic with intent to purchase. And we're looking for sellers to come directly to our platform. And, you know, we're happy to offer our users to them. And in that way, our channel is actually the least risky of all three.
Right. Very interesting, Aaron, the hidden cost that comes in a little later. So, Aaron, in such a competitive space, right, apart from digital marketing campaigns, how else can online merchants set themselves apart?
Yes, it's good. Good question. So customer service and responsiveness is key to e-commerce ratings. So successful sellers are those who start building their reputation over time. And I think the whole market, you know, fair to say, is still in the maturing phase. And there are still a lot of trust and reliability issue. And there are still many cases, you know, when buying even from reputable sellers, you know, when you're about to buy and then you text the seller, and, hey, do you have a black variant for this phone? And then yes, I do, you know, and then you buy the black variant. And the minute after you made the payment, the seller sends you a message like, hey, I don't have black, I have blue, sending you blue. And that could be a small thing, but it's really annoying and it's not what you ordered, right? And over time, you gain a bad reputation and in other instances, the order says three pieces in a pack, but then, you know, only one arrives. And then the customer will start reaching out to the platform and seller and complaining. And very often the response will not be immediate. And you may not even hear from some, right? And even if you do, it's not going to be a good experience to have. So we are on a mission to resolve this. And many marketplaces are doing the same thing. And iPrice Salesforce is one of the steps to that direction. So because being engaged to our sellers, we will have much more direct feedback on their capacity and reputation and what kind of quality service they're offering. And we'll be able to eliminate the ones who are not acting in the best interests of our users.
Mm. Absolutely. All right. Well, it's time to take a short break. So just stay on the line with us, Aaron. After the break, we'll be continuing our conversation with the head of iPrice Sellers Club, Aaron Lim, to talk about e-commerce and the digital space as well for businesses. For now, though, we have What You See Is What You Get by Save Ferris here on BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and in the studio with me is
Frida Liu.
And today we're talking about e-commerce, how businesses are scrambling to stand out amongst the crowd. And joining us for that conversation is iPrice Sellers Club, the head of iPrice Sellers Club, Aaron Lim. And basically, Aaron was speaking to us earlier about how online merchants can set themselves apart in such a competitive space. But I also understand, Aaron, that one of the other elements of the iPrice Sellers Club is to help sellers achieve sustainability. So how do you define sustainability when it comes to digital adoption for these merchants?
So over the years, every year, the market completely turns around. And it's such a wild development. And the learnings are enormous. So like during the peak of COVID, there were talks about retail Armageddon and how brick and mortar were not able to sell. So if we look at Southeast Asia, while it has developed extremely strongly in e-commerce. But we're still floating around 10% of all retail being purchased online. And this is still far from the levels of Western markets like US, Europe, where the numbers are close or above 20%. And at that point, if you are a large seller, you are a large chain, and if you lose, you know, 5, 6, 7% of your sales, you probably can still survive. And you probably find other ways to find out how to recover that, right? But when you start losing 20, 25% of your sales, at that point, it gets critical. So I think the real impact on sustainability will come to those who are not yet in digital. And to those who will survive are those who found another channel for them, and in which, in this case, is digital. And they should always be exploring. And you know, right? And still not all of them are in the exploratory phase of how they can leverage into their benefit.
Right. And what significance do sustainable methods of reaching shoppers hold to merchants?
Well, it will reach new audiences, right? New traffic. It will start to expand your exposure and increase your chances of sales. And because of the spike of the demand and the difficulty of supply chain during COVID, right, depending on the product, some people were really making a lot of money. And some people were really struggling, even though they were online. And one of the big advantages of being online is data, right? And how businesses can use those data and pivot or re-strategize the plans. And given that, you know, we have price comparison service running across the region. So we are helping sellers, you know, with shopping insights, trends, trending products, or with other data points which can help them grow and try to be more competitive in the online world.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Aaron, could you share some examples maybe of some of these sustainable methods of reaching customers?
Well, there's no doubt that being digital is now a minimum requirement, and partnering with a digital marketing channels is important, but partnering with the correct digital marketing channel is key. So one of the most effective methods of reaching out to customers in Southeast Asia now is through platforms like us, iPrice. And so iPrice is actually, you know, unique in the sense that we're actually transparently saying to sellers that we have those users coming to our platforms and we want the best offering for them. And so we want to build direct relationship with the seller, regardless whether you're on Shopee or Lazada and whether you have your own website or if you're just about to start. So, you know, we are ready to help you grow. And So we are a marketing channel, and you can see how our users are growing over the years. And we're not saying that we're your next Lazada. I don't think we'll be competing with Lazada or Shopee. We're not planning to do that. But really, that effective marketing channel, that because we are so specialized, we believe we can deliver that value.
Right. Okay, final question, Aaron. What are some e-commerce trends iPrice predicts for the ASEAN region in the near future?
So I think what's coming to the region is this trend, which is reacting to this, is in the US, they call it unbundling. So it used to be that, you know, all the sellers were just simply on Amazon and that was it, right? So, but over time, Amazon started to become more and more expensive. You know, similar trend to what we see here. So Amazon started to charge more and more for visibility, for advertisements. And when you start searching on iPrice, on Amazon in US, it used to be you always get the best results on top, right? But nowadays, it's a lot of sponsored placements, a lot of sponsored search results, and they're all paid by the sellers. So the sellers started unbundling themselves from the platform and started looking for new presence, looking for their own presence. And there was a statement during the COVID times that Amazon grew tremendously, but Shopify grew even faster, right? And Shopify is the enabler of brand.coms and seller websites. So we see the same trend starting here. A lot of companies are getting enormous amounts of fund raising to build these platforms. And these companies are typically getting around $2 to $10 million for building brand.coms. And they're still in the early stage of fundraising. AppBoxo is one of them. They just raised $7 million to do that. And Bukakas in Indonesia raised about $75 million to help sellers to go online by themselves. So this is a big trend and it's just starting, but we believe going forward, it will be the big thing. That will make it much better for users, right? Because they're not just relying on a few big marketplaces and they will start to have more choices.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much, Aaron. That was the head of iPrice Sellers Club, Aaron Lim, on the line with us today. And thank you very much for those insights. That does, however, bring us to the end of the show. Brings us to the end of Enterprise Biz Bytes for today.
Yeah, I was just listening to him as well. It's very interesting, right? The whole concept of unbundling and making it easier and, you know, easier for these MSMEs to actually come in, because it looks like very easy to come in and then there are hidden costs.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if we can get more players, it actually means more choices for the customers.
Exactly. So. Absolutely. So thank you very much to him, and thanks obviously to Frida for joining me on the show today as well. That's about it for today's Enterprise Biz Bytes. Of course, we'll be here same time, same place tomorrow, 12 p.m. But coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin on the Breakfast Grill replay, in light of the recent MACC probe on Justice Mohamed Nazlan, is judicial independence in Malaysia under threat now? And what are the priority law reforms of the Malaysian Bar Council? So Karen Chia, president of the Malaysian Bar Council, was asked on the Breakfast Grill about the relevance of the bar exam and how judicial and legal processes have evolved during the pandemic. That is all coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. But for now, here is Summer in the City by Joe Cocker, followed by Train in Vain by The Clash here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.